FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station, broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great Friday. Pretty nice day out there today. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Live sports on the station this week in Northern Iowa against University of Illinois Chicago, 12:30 pregame. The Chiefs and the Jags kick off at 3:30. No pregame there. And the Giants-Eagles game, we were going to do that earlier, but with the Chiefs game and being a Chiefs affiliate and a Northern Iowa affiliate, we have to fulfill those. So you won't get that one. But Sunday, you're going to get the Bengals and the Bills and the Cowboys and the 49ers. So a lot of live sports coming up this weekend. As always, we want to take time to thank sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Can't do this show without them. Hope every, you know, weekend coming up, have football coming up, college basketball. We'll talk a little bit about that today. Both men's and women's. We'll talk a little NBA today. B Styles is coming in at 5:21 today. So a lot of me, and you get B in here as well. We're going to talk, I mean, there's a lot of small things going on out there. There's a lot of big things going on out there. We'll just kind of pick our way through and see how it's going to go. As always, we got Nana back home. So I love my Nana, and she's recuperating. And so any thoughts and prayers would be very nice for Nan. And it's nice to have, Susie here from Ohio. It's nice to have Kathy there today, and Jen. All the sisters are there, so they can help. The other sister is working her new job, so she's not available. But I want to thank all of them. It's like they say, it takes a village, takes a great family, and we have that. And we hope she gets better. And DJ, I said hi to you as well. There you go. One of the biggest games this weekend, because we are a Kansas City Chief affiliate, it's a huge game. And I've heard a lot of people, I listened all day long today about, you know, how you can pick apart some of these games. Because at first glance, I mean, that's always the big part, right? At first glance, you try to, without putting in a lot of deep thought, because that's one of the things with betting. Sometimes the deeper the thought, the deeper the loss sometimes. The Jaguars are 9-8. The Chiefs are 14-3. The over-under on this game as of 4:03 p.m. today is 53 points. And the spread is the Kansas City Chiefs by 9. You know, when you take a look at that, it's the second time that they've played Jacksonville. Probably a more of a plus for Jacksonville than it is for Kansas City. They've seen a lot of things. The most difficult thing for the Jacksonville Jaguars are they had to play last week, which maybe is a good thing for them that they had to play last week. Kansas City had a chance to get healthy and to probably, the way they work, set up a whole new playbook on what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. I really like the matchup because we've been talking this week about these quarterbacks. And you don't consider that you can put Patrick Mahomes in the same grouping, right? Because it seems like Patrick Mahomes has been in the league for a long time, and he has not. Trevor Lawrence is 23 years old. Him and Brock Purdy are the two youngest quarterbacks that are going to be playing this weekend. Patrick Mahomes is 27. He's the second oldest. Dak Prescott, being 29, is the oldest quarterback. I was trying to compare the game from last week for the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Los Angeles Chargers. And I'm trying to, you know, with quarterbacking, maybe not as big a chance to run for first downs with Justin Herbert. He likes to throw the ball. Kansas City's going to run the ball. I think Kansas City's going to run the ball a lot more than what they typically do. And then try to really hit some big plays on play action. You have to be, I was concerned going to Kansas City, because when you go to Los Angeles, and I don't care if you're going to a Rams game or a Chargers game, I don't know if they have a home field advantage. I don't know. I think there's a majority of times where visiting teams have just as many fans there. You know, there are all kinds of different ways that they can go. Going to Kansas City is going to be a little bit more difficult for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The thing that they can't do, they can't turn the ball over. If Trevor Lawrence has four turnovers against the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not winning that football game. I have been, even though, and once again, it's here's the fun thing about having a radio show. I can sit in here and I can just talk to you about things that I really believe in. Just because you're and if it's not owned by an entity, it's owned by individuals. Not everybody in the world are millionaires. And to get their money, I mean, the Denver Broncos are owned by the Walton, and there's more names than that now, because you have Sam Walton's daughters are a part of this grouping as well. Just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean that you make good, sound football decisions. You have to see how much you trust your people. And the ebb and flow that the Jacksonville Jaguars have had for the last couple of years, I mean, they're owned by, his last name is Khan. They own a lot of different things. The Jacksonville Jaguars have money. He was trying to make, he had made a couple of, not that they were bad hires, they just didn't turn out to be good hires. And he thought, okay. I mean, it'd been the same thing that I would have thought. I watch Urban Meyer on Fox talking college football and talking plays and talking how he would work with kids and how he would do this and what he looks for. And you think, okay, maybe I can give that a try and work. But Urban Meyer also thought that he could treat NFL athletes the same as he treated college students, who he had everything over. And in the NFL, he had nothing. Number one, he wasn't making more money than them. Number two, I doubt in the long run that he had more power than some of them. And he had people that he had to answer to up on top. And he was, even before the stuff that happened after he didn't fly home with the football team, and caused more of a rift in his marriage than anything else. He had lost the team. They moved on. Then they moved to Doug Peterson. I couldn't believe that it took Doug Peterson so long to get a coaching job. Philadelphia still had him tied up, so you had a little compensation. That's not a big deal for these guys. Doug Peterson came in and actually ran a football team. And the taking Trevor Lawrence from last year to this year, Last year he was just a mess. I don't even know if he knew, you know, I don't know if he knew all the playbook. I don't even know if they had a playbook. You hear so many bad rumors about what happened. But Doug Peterson comes in, and Doug Peterson gets the most out of his quarterbacks. And if I said this in after the first half last week, that in looking at the second half between the Chargers and the Jaguars, who do you trust to come out and do the right thing, either to get the Jags back in the game, or non-trust in Coach Staley to not have the Chargers ready to go in the second half? And it was the latter that was there. And Doug Peterson came out and he did the one thing that I don't know how many coaches in the NFL would do. He put trust in his quarterback. Yes, he had two really bad interceptions and two that were borderline really bad. And he comes out and he leads them to a victory. But on top of that, they came out and they played better defense, and they weren't giving up the same plays that were happening. bad loss for the Los Angeles Chargers, and a lot of us watching the game, a lot of talking heads in the game, a lot of on social media. Well, how does Staley keep his job? Well, here's how he kept his job. He threw everybody else under the bus and told them to keep him and he would start over. Don't know if that's a great thing to do. Believe that it is not. Now, getting to the Jags and the Chiefs game. The Jags were in that game. A couple of mistakes here and there. And they had a chance to win that game. And that was a game, once again, that Kansas City has a lot latter part of seasons, maybe the first part of the season and latter part of the seasons. They're trying things. They're doing different things to see what they can do. It is always a brain trust of, let's see if this works. Let's see if this works. Let's see if this works. And they were trying that out and made some errors, and the game was probably closer than it's supposed to be. They're not going to do that at home and not for a chance to get to the championship game of the NFC or AFC, excuse me. My hope in this is that Trevor Lawrence has a good game to keep that momentum going for him. I like to cheer on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that it's going to be an exciting team. They showed last week that they also can play defense. They can turn the ball over. They can get those giveaways and get them back as takeaways. And the team rallied around Trevor Lawrence and Coach Doug Peterson. The most difficult thing for the Jaguars is the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Patrick Mahomes records after byes. They don't lose a lot of those games. And on paper, Kansas City has a better team. Does Jacksonville have places where they're better? Absolutely. But it's not enough. And that game, you know, being over under a 53, I get that. The Chiefs are kind of a bend or break, you know, bend, don't break defense. They're going to give up some yards. They're probably going to give up a couple of touchdowns. But that 9-point spread, that means a lot. That's a big point spread for a game that gets you to the division championship game. So it'll be interesting. Being a Chiefs affiliate, it'll be fun to listen to that game. Once again, that game starts. The kickoff is at 3:30. The secondary game in that is the Philadelphia Eagles against the New York Giants. And the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants fall into the same category that a lot of these other teams. It's the San Francisco 49ers. It's the Jacksonville. It's all these. Well, who did they play coming down the stretch? Who did they, you know, who were the games against? Blah, 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 blah. Listen, in the NFL, you have people that get paid a lot of money. And you have a lot of great athletes. And all these games are, you know, they are huge games. And you win some, you lose some. I don't care if the teams that San Francisco were playing didn't have the greatest offenses or didn't have the greatest defenses. That happens. There are 32 teams in this league. And there are 16 teams in this league right now that are not very good football teams. And those football teams have to play other football teams. So if you play them, you have to do one thing, and that is to beat the teams that you're better than. The New York Giants have overachieved. I've heard a lot of different things today. I don't know how you don't give Brian Daboll the coach of the year. And I'm going to look at it two different ways. I'm going to look at the regression of Josh Allen in Buffalo. Now that's Ken Dorsey. That's his first year. He was up. He was play calling with Brian Daboll, so he gets the general idea of what to do. But to drop a game plan week in and week out, it just wasn't as good. Josh Allen is not as good, and Brian Daboll goes to the New York Giants, and all of a sudden Daniel Jones is looking at a really, really good chance of making over $30 million a year for the next 3 to 4 years, being the quarterback for the New York Giants. And this is the second time that's happened. The first time is Jared Goff. When Jared Goff had Joe, well, I guess the Giants had Joe Judge. I'm trying to think. It's going to hit me here in a sec. But who the Detroit Lions had before Dan Carpenter came in is, I don't even know how to explain it. Dan Campbell. I'm sorry why I said Carpenter. Dan Campbell. What Dan Campbell has been able to do with Jared Goff is the same thing that Brian Daboll. And Dan Campbell's not, I got to have this guy's name so I get it right. He has Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson is their offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Brian Daboll has somebody, he has a quarterback's coach and he calls some plays. He has a offensive coordinator that he uses as well. But they understand what you have to do for young quarterbacks to make them better. And both of these quarterbacks have gotten much better. Now with Jared Goff, not a lot of running, but if you're the Philadelphia Eagles and you've seen them twice, you have to be able to stop him throwing and running. And the Philadelphia Eagles, to be really honest, are hurt. If Jalen Hurts can't take off and run and take a hit, I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles can beat the New York Giants. And that's a huge upset. Now, there's some New York people out there that have told you that, hey, they thought maybe the New York Giants would be better. To now be 9-7-1 and having a chance to play the winner of the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. And you have that the NFL Eastern Division have three football teams, and the Washington Commanders were right there. It's going to be a very interesting game to see how that happens. And man, it can't be easy playing three times in 1 year. And that's not the only time you're going to see, you know, that's the difficult part. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to talk about. We're going to get in with these next two games that are on Sunday. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101
Podcasters Association and this station.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. We are here. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Tomorrow, Northern Iowa at the University of Illinois Chicago, 12:30 pregame. Then you're going to get the 3:30 kickoff. We're going to go straight to kickoff at 3:30. No matter where we're at that UNI game, I think we're going to a 3:30 kick for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, two in Ankeny, one in Ames, three locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Kind of a dual thing here, right? A lot of people out there don't walk into banks anymore. They do their deposits online, snap a picture. They do all their transactions online. I'm still kind of half and half. I as much as I can do, but I also like to go in. I like to talk to people too. Imagine that. So you can do both no matter what. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Okay. So just to be clear on this again, Jacksonville Chiefs games right now as of on ESPN for Caesars. That I was looking at right here. The Kansas City Chiefs are a 9-point favorite, and the over-under is 53. Man, if push came, I would take the over for sure. I have this really strong feeling of thinking this is a 7-point game, so I may take the Jags and the points. Kansas City's not the best team in the world of keeping a big lead. And I don't think Jacksonville has any quit in them. So that could behoove that. The second one we talked about, the Giants and the Eagles. And once again, I think all of this depends on, I think it depends on how well the defenses play and how much pressure they put on the quarterbacks. And whoever plays better between Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts. Who thought that you could have ever thought that coming into the year? Which is absolutely nobody would have thought that. Would have been my thought process as my computer was sitting there talking to me. The Philadelphia Eagles are -7.5 and the over under is 48. I definitely think I would take the under because these are two really good defenses and I don't know how much the offenses are going to be able to do. I still think the Eagles are a better team, so I think I probably would still take the 7.5 in the Eagles. But man, I hope the Giants give them a good game. I think that's going to be really interesting. Okay. The next interesting game of the weekend is your 2 o'clock game on Sunday. That will start on our airs at 1:30 for pregame. It's the Cincinnati Bengals, Buffalo Bills about 3 weeks ago. Pretty much everybody will remember watching that game for at least the first bit of the first quarter. And Damar Hamlin and everything that's happened. Just a side note. You know, it's nice to see him up and getting around. He's been to the facility. You know, and I think people kind of go, okay, he's good. Now we can get back to normal. He's still got a long road, folks. He's still working on getting his lungs to work. Okay. He's still on oxygen quite a bit of the time. And you still have no idea, you know, just where everything is with his body. But the simple fact that he can come in, he can talk to his guys, he can be there, moral support, them looking up to him to you know, I think that's a huge thing. When you look at the game, I've watched Cincinnati, and you know I've had to take some punishment because my nephew Kale is a huge Cincinnati Bengal fan, and I felt when we watched their game last weekend, and I felt for him. And my brother-in-law Aaron, because they went to Cincinnati. That was his Christmas present. He got to go to the Cincinnati Buffalo game, and they loved Cincinnati. They loved the football stadium. You know, they said, "Hey, there's some things you probably could do to make it better, just getting in and out." But I think they like keeping you in, so that's probably why that happens. But you go to watch that, and then you have something like that happen. But as Kale said, it wasn't that big a deal. He got to witness something that not a lot of people have. It's starting to have a better ending. What I take away from that game when it was on, I deep down inside believe that the Cincinnati Bengals are a better team than the Buffalo Bills. I deep down inside think Joe Burrow is a better all-around quarterback right now than Josh Allen is. I think Josh Allen's going through some Brian Daboll withdrawals on having someone there talking him through things. There are times that Ken Dorsey, Sean McDermott, when they ask Josh Allen to do an awful lot. And even though Josh Allen has beat Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow has beat Patrick Mahomes, neither one of those two guys at this present time is Patrick Mahomes. To take all the pressure, to take all the things that are out there. Patrick Mahomes is just very deserving of being, I believe, the best quarterback in the NFL. With that being said, I get why people like Joe Burrow. I understand why people like Josh Allen. Josh Allen is strong, physical, doesn't think that there's a throw that he can't make. He's just not as good a spin in the ball as Joe Burrow. I don't know if anybody is as good. Joe Burrow is not going to flick a ball behind his back or throw it out in front of him. I mean, he's going to throw a ball and drill it into you, and that's the way he is. His biggest problem is he has two offensive linemen out, two offensive linemen hurt, and the one thing that you can't have, you know, the Buffalo Bills, their biggest problem in latter part of the season is they didn't have Von Miller. At the beginning of the season, they had Von Miller when they played Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes had hardly zero amount of time. Cincinnati can probably get to him a little bit, but I don't know. I just have this feeling that I think Joe Burrow is going to win this game. And then you're going to have another matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. If the Buffalo Bills win and the Kansas City Chiefs win, I would take Kansas City Chiefs and as many points as you can give me. I think 9, 10, it won't be that much, but I just think that they're a better football team right now and don't make as many mistakes. And I think the biggest thing for the Kansas City Chiefs that they want a little bit of payback on the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think they'd also like to have that game in their home stadium instead of in Atlanta. And knowing Buffalo fans and Kansas City fans or Cincinnati fans, well, Cincinnati doesn't get that choice. Cincinnati is either going to be playing in Buffalo or playing in Kansas City if they win. But I think Buffalo Bills fans will travel to Atlanta. I know the Kansas City Chiefs fans will travel to Atlanta. So that's going to be an interesting game. But I deep down, I would like to see Cincinnati run the ball a little bit more and get Joe Mixon more involved, maybe even out of the backfield catching passes, and then try to open up everything. And if you tell me at the end of the game that Josh Allen threw for 375 yards and he didn't have a turnover, then it makes it more interesting. I would be more worried. If the Cincinnati Bengals have to play the Kansas City Chiefs and they still don't have their three offensive linemen, it's going to be a long day. I don't know if Buffalo can get pressure on without bringing an extra guy. And that's what Joe Burrow wants you to do. He wants you to think that you have to bring another guy to get there, and that gives him another throwing alley. I think Joe Burrow is the future. If I don't think Trevor Lawrence is the future, which I do as well, between the two, and when I looked at that, Joe Burrow is actually, where did I have? Joe Burrow's 26, so he's 3 years older. Man, having Trevor Lawrence, you know, I bet Sean Payton's kicking himself thinking, man, but I don't think he thought Jacksonville would give up the draft picks and the money that you have to give to get him, and they got Doug Peterson, and that's it's made a difference. So I am going to take the Bengals and the points. And I'm going to do the over too. So I'm going to take Cincinnati and I'm going to take the over on that game. And that leaves us the last game of the night. That leaves us the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco Giants. And I know what my first reaction was, and that first reaction would have been before the Tampa Bay game. I'd have said, if San Francisco plays as well as they've been playing, then, man, Dallas is not going to like coming to San Francisco and playing. I don't think Dallas is a great traveling team. I remember watching that Green Bay game, and boy, did they make some silly mistakes. And I don't think you can make the mistakes against the San Francisco 49ers that you made in that game. To be really honest with you, I want Dak Prescott to have a good game. I think Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. Here's Dak Prescott's biggest problem, and I've listened to it for the past week, is there 50% of the people don't like him for a reason, and the other 50% of the people don't like him. There's just nobody that ever comes on any of these shows and says Dak Prescott, except for maybe the crazy guy on Fox with Shannon Sharp, who I don't even like to say his name. You know, I think he believes in Dak. I don't know if he believes in anybody. He just believes in hyping things for himself. But I think sometimes it's not easy to be Dak Prescott and be with the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys have to be able to run the football. I don't think they're going to be able to run the football. I think the Dallas Cowboys have to protect Dak Prescott. I don't know if they can protect Dak Prescott. On the other side of that, this is the thing that I want to see at the end of this game, because if you've listened to this show, you know how much I hate when teams hire defensive coordinators, and the hottest defensive coordinator name out there is Dan Quinn. You know, the Cowboys are going to pay him $20 million to stay and be the defensive coordinator. Okay, whatever. He's a great defensive coordinator in Dallas because he has Micah Parsons. But here's do I think the Dallas Cowboys and Dan Quinn can make life hard on Brock Purdy? Yes, I do. I think A lot of people are saying that he's going to throw a bunch of interceptions. I think he's going to throw a bunch of balls into the ground in order to not throw interceptions. I still think they're going to scheme people open. I still think they're going to roll him out. I think if they roll him out and they give him a little bit of time, there's going to be openings. I think they're going to pick on Diggs. Everybody just raves about how good he is on one-on-one coverage. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about that. There are so many weapons. The fact that Brock Purdy's there and he has Brandon Ayuk and he has Debo Samuel and he has Kittle and they have McCaffrey coming out of the backfield and running the ball. He has so many options. And he's just not going to sit and hold the ball. And if he does hold the ball, he's going to fight another day. I don't think he's going to make a lot of turnovers, and I don't know how the Dallas Cowboys are going to play on the road. They're not playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There is nothing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on how they readied for that game. Everybody had said, I'm out. Even Tom Brady, to a certain extent, you could just see it. I'm fine with this. It is a 4-point spread. I'm going to take San Francisco in the points, and I am going to take the under. The points is 40. I mean, the over-under is 46.5. I think I'm going to take the under. So I took two overs and two unders, and I took the points in all of them except for the Chiefs. I think the Jags can stay close enough. And I'm still a little iffy on the 7.5 for the Eagles with the Giants. I may change that before the day is up. But I think they're all four really good games. It's what we've been waiting for, to get a Saturday-Sunday doubleheader of games at the utmost for everything. I think that's what we all like. And then you get a couple of weeks until the Super Bowl after they play next weekend, and boom, the NFL's over, and before you know it, we'll be in the draft, and then before you know it, we're going to be in another NFL season, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do some potpourri coming up in this next segment. Then we're going to kind of go over the year in the NFL. We're going to talk a little NBA. We're going to talk to B Styles at 5:21, and then end with, you know, just going over some of the things that are going on this weekend. Hawkeyes have a huge game this weekend, going to Ohio State. Susie will love that. I told Susie, that's not an easy game for you guys. They have not been playing well. Iowa State goes to Oklahoma State. That's one of those trap games, traveling in the Big 12. How do you travel? Caleb Grill, how's Caleb Grill? Haven't heard much. Can they keep up, keep that momentum, getting ready to go in a couple of tough games then coming up next week. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We've got one more segment in this first hour. Come on back. We'll be talking some more.
The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Happy Friday. Last segment on this Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk. For real sports fans, Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 Champ. Tomorrow we have Northern Iowa against Illinois Chicago, 12:30 pregame. That'll lead you right up to the Chiefs and the Jags kickoff at 3:30. So looking forward to listening to some live sports. Get in on it. Woodman Controls is going to sponsor this segment. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, go to woodmancontrols.com. And look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Want to make sure that once again, I tell Nan, hi, Nan, love you, Nan. She is recuperating and we are very excited to have her back home. Also want to give a shout out to my buddy, Jimmy Fetters. Had a little hip replacement and got beat up pretty good. Hopefully he's back out there ready to go by the end of March, 1st of April, so we can go golfing. Looking forward to that. We tried to do these last 12 minutes in the last segments of the hours, do a little bit of potpourri. So I kind of peruse around and see some things that are out there. The Iowa State Patrol, two nights ago, pulled over a young 21-year-old girl driving 103 and a 65. That's impressive. And she blew a 4-2-1. She was five times over the legal limit trying to get home to beat curfew. I don't know. It's just one of those things that make you go, And trust me, a lot of people make dumb mistakes like that. So I don't laugh at it, but it fit the potpourri thing that, wow, what were you thinking there? 4 times the legal limit. I think sometimes some of these highway patrolmen, that was from the highway patrol. I think some of these times these highway patrolmen just go, are you kidding me? What in the world are people thinking? One of the interesting potpourri for the day, Russell Wilson. I'll tell you the story first. Russell Wilson has contacted and spoke with Sean Payton and wants him to become the Denver Broncos quarterback. My first thought process is, okay, tampering. Is that tampering? And it is not tampering if it's a NFL player, I guess, is what they are saying. I kind of figured that would be tampering. I think I talked about this a little bit, but Chargers GM Tom Telesco, when asked if Brandon Staley's job was ever at stake, he said, no, that was probably more media discussion than ours. The front office believes in Brandon, and it hasn't changed. He is in our belief process. Our players believe in him. He's a tremendous leader. We just needed to change the things around him. Okay. And I get it. You have a young quarterback. Coach Brandon Staley's made some really interesting moves. The part I don't get, Brandon Staley hired his staff. He hired the people that he thought he could put by him and win football games. And it's not that they haven't won football games. It's just the amount of games that they've lost that they probably should have won. That's what's hurting him. That shows that Tom Telesco probably isn't long for this world either. And you can't have this happening when you have one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. In a league that, when Scott and I went through this yesterday, there are 32 teams. There are 18 teams that have no idea in the world what they're going to do at quarterback. So if you're one of the 14 or 15 teams that do know what you're doing at quarterback, get the best person in the world in there to take care of your quarterback. I don't understand it. It's mind-boggling. If you're looking right now, the net update for NCAA March Madness just came out 2.5 hours ago. Number one is Houston. Number two is Tennessee. Number three is Alabama. Number four is Purdue. Number five is UCLA. Number six is Kansas. Number seven is UConn. Number eight is St. Mary's. Congrats to them. Number nine is Iowa State, and they had 10 Gonzaga. Gonzaga got beat. They had their home winning streak taken away. I don't know if I would have them in the top 10. But it's nice to see Iowa State there, and it's nice. I mean, Houston, when you're talking Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, folks, get ready. Not for this basketball season, because this is a 2022-2023 basketball season, but 2023 football season. It's coming up, and it's going to be interesting when those schedules come out. I can't wait. I barely got onto this one yesterday, but Notre Dame, Mike Bray retiring at the end of the season. I think he's been there for, it's over 20 years. He's done a really good job with their basketball team. Both the men's and women's basketball teams at Notre Dame have been really good. And a lot of the other, their Olympic sport teams are very good as well. At a school that spends a premium amount of money on their football program. He is going to be a tough person to replace. I hope he gets to do some studio work. I don't know if he wants to call games because I don't know if he wants to travel, but boy, he'd be good in a studio. His way of thinking and looking at basketball, I think I've mirrored myself after him a lot. It is more about your relationships that you have with your students or your student athletes and the relationship that you can spark between that group as well. I think that's why TJ does such a good job at Iowa State is he gets the kids first. He has to get the kids to believe in his way he does things and his coaching staff, because it's very specific and it's very detailed on what they do, what they expect and all that. I think Mike Bray's a lot like that. And then you have to have everybody buy in. And then once they buy in, then all you have to do is tweak it every once in a while, because they get it. They know what the deal is. And the reason that you have to tweak it is just, it's a long season. And it's a lot of games in a short amount of time that makes it feel like a long season. When you're playing twice a week and you're going through all that, and you don't have, one of the things I had to talk about today is tonight, after watching the game last night, it was Boston and Golden State, and Nana's team won. And she came up, she goes, "Oh, wasn't that great?" And I looked at her and I go, "Nana, you know I don't think that's great. I'm a Golden State fan." It didn't go over well. So I had to cheer for Boston a little bit. But so tonight, Golden State on the road again, second road game, back to back. And Draymond Green and James Wiseman and Wiggins and Curry and Klay Thompson aren't playing. You don't get that in college basketball. You play. And one of the interesting things that popped up, and the reason that I kind of brought that up just a little bit, is because Fran McCaffrey's name came up for the Notre Dame job. Do I think that Fran McCaffrey wants to leave Iowa to go coach at Notre Dame? Probably not. But it's got to feel good that your name is mentioned. I think he was an assistant coach there with Mike Bray a long time ago. It's an interesting thing. It's not an easy thing to do, to coach men's basketball at the University of Iowa. I probably don't cut Fran McCaffrey enough slack because of that. It's a football school, number one. And you compete, for the betterment, but you compete again with a really good Iowa women's basketball team. I don't think that you play in the best facility in the world to get the same type of atmosphere that you get in Ames. It just isn't set up to do that. I think there's a lot of tough things. But I think he's done an admirable job at the University of Iowa, if not a very, very good job. I don't think with some of the fades and some of that it could be a great, but there hasn't been a ton of that. So, I think, and it wasn't just him, but it was Luka Garza as well. But how the two of those worked together to turn Luka into the type of player he was, and the fact of how good Chris and Keegan Murray have been. Now, I think some of that goes to their dad a little bit. I think a lot of that goes to Fran. I think a lot of that goes to the coaching staff and how much better they have gotten. I remember when he signed them and people didn't think highly of it. And I thought they were wrong then, and boy, were they ever wrong. So he's going to be missed, folks. It's not an easy thing, and it's not an easy replace for Notre Dame. You, by the way, we have B Styles coming up. He's coming up at 5:21. He's got a lot of stuff to talk about. He wants to talk about Iowa. I got to talk to him about the T-Wolves just a little bit. talk about the Vikings and what they can do. Just talk about the Bears and what they can do. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 CHAMP AM. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic.